Hello and welcome to Multiform. Every week we get together to talk about the latest Xbox news, rumors, and the games we've been playing lately. New episodes post every Monday morning. You can email the show, questions@multiformpodcast.com. This is episode 231. I'm Tim Shelton, and I'm joined this week by Gus Harden.
Hello.
Yes. What do I want to say at the beginning of this show? Okay, before we get into anything Xbox or gaming related, I just want to talk about briefly. I don't want to talk about The Last of Us show specifically, but what I want to talk about is that it's getting rave reviews. You and I have watched the first episode. Mm-hmm. I did like The Last of Us 1 and 2 when I played them. Big
I've
fan
watched
of,
them on YouTube.
Yeah, you obviously don't own PlayStation consoles.
Yeah.
I have not played the remastered version of The Last of Us, but what I wanted to talk about is this sentiment going around the internet that The Last of Us is so far a wonderful adaptation of the game with very few changes, but the changes they made were very... like they made sense for converting
like the time,
to TV.
The time between
the time jump, yeah.
Yeah.
The time shift.
10 years in the game and it's 20 in the show.
No, it's 20 in both, but in the game, it's present 2013 when the game came out was when the past was, and it jumps 20 years into the future.
Okay.
Whereas they set the future in present day, aka 2023.
Okay. So what it was
and
like
so
19,
the past had to go back to
2003.
20 years.
Oh. But it was still 2023 in the game?
No, in the game it was 2013 and it jumped forward to 2033 or 2030
something. Oh, okay.
So they shifted the whole thing back so that the present day would up in 2023 instead of 2033.
Yeah.
So you're right, they did shift it 10 years.
Yeah.
Not 10 years time different. It's confusing. It doesn't matter. Anyway,
yeah.
The reason this is being brought up in Xbox circles though is people are comparing it to the Halo show, which obviously tells its own version of the Master Chief's story.
It was awful.
Had some questionable CGI and had some weird things that just aren't in the game. So, I mean,
weird
most of the characters
choices
in the show aren't in the game. And you know what? I kind of, I wasn't the biggest critic of the show. Like I said, it wasn't great, but I still enjoyed some parts of it. But now comparing it to The Last of Us, it's like, wow, this is a good Halo show could have been this quality. With the right people and the right money. And even other adaptations that have let me down, like the Assassin's Creed movie. I was really excited about that.
Oh my God,
when it was
I forgot
announced.
That I saw that in theaters. Michael Fassbender.
I should have known that that was going to be bad when they adapted the Animus to be like a giant thing where you basically hang on like you're
doing the movements in real life, but it's in a small area.
Which made no sense. I get they were trying to make it more visual, but like, I don't know. That movie also is another... I mean, the history is littered with bad video game adaptations. It's like an ongoing joke.
That is
true. But it does make me sad because Halo really could exist as a really great movie or TV show if done by the right people. And it's just littered with the history of it being done poorly. Like, we had that Nightfall show that came out with Halo 5. We had the Forward Unto Dawn miniseries that was mediocre. It was actually kind of good, but it didn't really.
That's the one that had
it
the
was
girl
a lower
from
budget.
Chronicles of Narnia, right? It was like it looked like fan made.
Yeah, it was kind of like it almost felt like an internet web show.
Yeah,
like it was said, a it lower budget.
It looked like a fan made Halo adaptation.
I used to have it on Blu-ray, and I don't know if I still do because I sold most of my Blu-rays.
That
I don't
does
know if
sound
I
like something
that.
You would own, Tim.
I own lots
the massive
of
massive nerd that you are.
I'm pretty sure somebody got me the Halo anime anthology on Blu-ray as well. But I stopped buying Blu-rays and I sold most of my collection, so I couldn't tell you if I still own it or not.
Yeah, the problem with video game adaptations is that they try to The Last of Us is to me interesting because of the fact that it is basically the game just live action. Whereas stuff with Halo, it's like it's his own story, but at the same time, they're trying to make it seem almost like an origin story, but there's no origin story there. We already know about Master Chief. So why are you making it seem like this is his origin or whatever?
It also helps, I guess, that The Last of Us is more cinematic.
Yeah.
But not that Halo isn't cinematic, but Last of Us is much heavier
Plus
on the storytelling.
Better. acting, yeah, I mean, well, superior in The Last of Us show compared to anything I've seen otherwise.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the fact of the matter is it's being done by HBO, who notoriously has very high production value shows.
Yes.
And the creator of Chernobyl, which Chernobyl is amazing.
It is an amazing
show. In my opinion, one of the greatest shows ever made.
The first three episodes of that show are some of the best television like ever created.
I agree. I recently rewatched the first episode, and it's one of the things that I'm like, almost everyone should watch that show just for the historical context of how like amazing it is to learn that this is something that happened. But anyway, I don't want to go too much more into the details. We may talk about The Last of Us on future episodes, but we'll try to maybe put that at the end of the episode. So if you're here just to listen to idiots talk about Xbox, you don't have to trudge through the PlayStation talk, even though it's more of a TV show. But we'll do something maybe if we're going to talk about it rather than putting it here at the beginning like we did this week.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, it's like real quick. I always would see videos and it would always be fan made things of like, this is who I would have play this person or these people in this video game if it was like a movie or a show. And I'm like, dude, the casting budget would be like millions of dollars because they're choosing like A-list actors for every single role, even for roles that are like
obscure
side roles. Like they were choosing like David Harbour for Bill Williamson in like a Red Dead Redemption. I'm like, David Harbour's like, no, I wouldn't say he's like an A-list actor, but he's like B approaching A. Like, yeah, he's in the MCU, so I mean, he's big there, and then obviously Stranger Things, and then he was Hellboy. So maybe I'm wrong in saying he's B-list, but he is, like, he alone would command millions of dollars, and Bill Williamson is, like, a nobody in that game for the most part. He's just, like, a side character.
Although, you know, The Last of Us TV show, well, a couple of things. One, I would have never thought to cast Pedro Pascal.
Yeah, as Joel.
And he's amazing as it, so, sometimes it's good. I don't know. I mean,
it's like slightly off-putting because it's like I see Mando, and if I don't see Mando, I see
Martell from Game of Thrones.
Martell from Game of Thrones.
Okay, but what I was going to say is they do have a lot of minor characters played by A-listers. Like, not minor characters, but characters that aren't in the show. Because effectively, this is going to be Joel and Ellie's show for the entire season.
I mean, that's
and
the whole point
we're just
going to
run
too.
Into various other characters for only an episode or two. Like, they have Nick Offerman as Bill for two episodes, and they have Anna Torv as whatever his love interest is. She's only in the beginning. We probably will only see her like one other episode, maybe two, the rest of the season, and never again.
She's not really in the game very long. Like Trish or whatever her name is.
I can't even. Tess is her name.
Tess. Yeah, because she gets like bit, and then she like goes out in like a blaze of glory, I'm pretty sure, in the game.
I don't remember. That's how notable she is to me. But then again, I played The Last of Us in 2013.
I think it happens like when they take her to like.
Well, don't spoil it for people that are just now watching the show.
Well,
there's a lot of people that I know, but a lot of people haven't played The Last of Us on Xbox because it's not on Xbox.
I can't imagine that anybody who listens to this is not familiar with the plot of Last of Us.
Well, but like they probably know the big beats, but like people that own Xboxes may not also own PlayStations, and they may be experiencing this story for the first time through HBO.
I don't know. I guess you're right, because it's like with Game of Thrones, how it's like if you've read the books, then like you know that Robb Stark dies then during the Red Wedding, but it's like when you watch the Red Wedding, you're like because most people don't read books, so.
I do read books, but not as many as I'd like.
Read books. I didn't say
I know, but what I was going to say is it actually was to my like benefit, because when I watched Game of Thrones, I didn't know any of the twists. So like I really got to enjoy them. And that to some extent is true of The Last of Us, because even though I know the big twist and I know a couple of the littler ones, I've forgotten a lot of it. So like as some of the twists happen, I'm not going to remember them because it was literally 10 years ago this June. So anyway. Let's move on to what we've been playing lately. You told me before the show that you didn't play a ton of Xbox. Oh, you know what? I forgot to explain. Spencer's not here this week. He had a business trip, so he literally landed this evening, and he hasn't seen his family in most of a week. So he's not with us this week.
He was also at Disney World for the first half of the week. And then
he went to Florida, got home, and then immediately flew back out to somewhere else for a business trip. And so
the nation's capital.
Understandable. It's more important. I'm hoping that we're all going to be able to be on next week's show because the Developer Direct is this Wednesday, and we're finally going to have a likely a release date, gameplay, and new features to talk about for the new Forza, some concrete details about Redfall, and then I don't think any of us is too excited about Elder Scrolls Online updates, and then something from Minecraft, which will probably be either a release date or gameplay for what's the new one called? Legends? Yeah, Minecraft Legends. And maybe yes. New updates for the normal Minecraft. So, but that's coming Wednesday. So we'll talk about all that next weekend. Anyway, back to games we've been playing. You told me before the show started that you didn't play as much Xbox as usual this week, which is fine.
I played Red Dead Redemption 2. I know the game that it just keeps on giving. I was doing gambler challenges because it was just like such a, like after I saw, I beat Midnight Suns, which I guess I think is worth.
Oh yeah, that's an update.
I don't think I was on last week, was I?
No, it was me, you, and Brett last week.
Oh, that's right. It was. Yeah. So I guess maybe this,
you beat it since then.
Maybe I did beat it this week, and it felt like a long week.
Because last week you said you were near the end. I remember.
Did we record on a Saturday?
No, I don't think so. Yeah, I think it was a Sunday afternoon,
but yes, I did beat it. And I know we'll have a slight story about it later.
What's your final opinion of it after beating the story?
It was fun.
Good,
was
great, fun. Amazing. Yeah. Okay.
I don't know. I'm interested in reading the Midnight Suns comic because I subscribe to Marvel Unlimited, which is their online comic service where you can watch or you can read pretty much anything that has ever existed on there, which is kind of cool. So I've been reading a lot of stuff on that. Like I've been reading the OG Moon Knight from like the 80s, which is like, man, the way people used to talk in those is like incredible. Like, There's lots of fat shaming that goes on in it. Like anybody who's like any somewhat rotund, they call them fatso. They're like get him fatso or like whatever. And I'm like, geez, I'm like, man, that wouldn't fly today. And they even have some like disclaimers before some of the comics about like. The racial stereotyping that like went on, and we do it to like remember to be better or whatever, and I'm like, okay, and then it's like I'll read them and I'm like, none of these were even really that bad. Like it's not like they were like it's like I think they used like a stereotype for like Haitian, like elderly Haitian women, which is that they like practice voodoo, and I'm like, I guess it's a stereotype, but that's like not like, I don't know, inherently bad. But either way, so I digress. I would be.
Hang on, before you move on.
What's up?
Do you have anything in your family that now that you're grown up, you look back on something like some relative or something or whatever that you were taught to say when you're younger? And now that you're an adult, you look back and say, wow, that was really messed up. I can't believe my family says that.
No.
Because I do. There are things in my family that are, I don't know, racial stereotypes that I grew up with a lot of people saying around me. And now I'm like, I don't think we should be saying that. I don't say it obviously, but it's just interesting because
I feel like that's like, I don't know. I'm a Northerner. I'm from Indiana. So it's like, and Indiana was like notoriously an abolitionist state. However, we did have a lot of KKK activity here in like the 30s. But no, it has been largely with the northern prospect of like not being extremely racist, and especially not the area that I grew up in.
Well, and it's not even really like racist. And it's funny because it's mostly not stuff related to the most, you know, contentious stuff of the modern day. Like it's not black white stuff. It's mostly like European, Eastern European and Asian and Vietnamese. And some of that comes from the Vietnam War and the Korean War and slang for those terms that the boomers and the older generations fought in those wars.
The biggest thing for me was that I would say for that was probably with people.
Well,
from
don't
Arab,
say whatever
Arabic
it is.
Cultures.
Oh, Arab.
Because
yeah.
We grew up in the era of Muslim extremism and 9/11. And
yeah, and there was a lot of racism,
Islamophobia.
Towards, yeah. Yeah. So well, I don't know how I got
anything,
us here, but
probably that. But no, anyway, back to what I was saying. Yes. And I guess if we ever decide to add our general nerd section at the end where we can talk about more pop culture stuff, this is where this would kind of come in, because I've been reading stuff like this. I read the Civil War comic. I'm reading Secret Wars right now, which I think is in development. Or is that it's Secret Invasion that is in development. Secret Wars would be like a really cool miniseries, I think, because it involves so many big time actors.
A lot of people think that the next two Avengers films are going to be related to Secret Wars, or at least borrow heavily from it. But
that would be very cool.
To hit on what Gus just said, I threw the idea to Gus and Spencer today of kind of reworking the format for the show a little bit to kind of basically make it a 3-segment show, where the beginning we talk about new releases or games we're currently playing. So that's what it is now. The middle section would be news, although it would be a little condensed from what we currently do, where we would mostly probably pick the 3 to 5 topics that are most interesting that week to talk about and cut out some of the smaller stuff like date announcements, if it's not really worth discussing. And then a third section that would be kind of a hodgepodge that wouldn't always be Xbox related. So that might be talking about comic books. That might be talking about like TV show adaptations of video games like The Witcher and The Last of Us and Halo. Or it might be talking about other pop culture things that happened recently, like the Super Bowl or the latest Marvel or Star Wars movie. But it would basically be a hodgepodge of just interesting pop culture stuff. Now, this is an Xbox podcast, so sometimes that wouldn't be relevant, but it kind of just...
Yeah, right now we usually just mush it into the news, which I feel like it kind of has a place there, but not really.
Yeah, and it's kind of weird because we do this as an Xbox podcast, because that's really what like holds it all together, is that we all play Xbox. Yeah. But like Spencer plays PC and I also play PlayStation, and there is just, in general, it's just us as friends talking about stuff that we like, so... I'm not going to rebrand the show unless for some reason somebody comes and buys us up, then I'll happily rebrand, but we might create a space at the end, because then if you don't want to hear that spot, you can just bounce after the Xbox content. But it's still a work in progress. If you have input, hit me up on Twitter and tell me what you think. If you have suggestions or segments you'd like to hear or whatever, you can just at me or DM me on Twitter. Yeah. Okay.
So
Red Dead Redemption 2, Midnight Suns.
Yes, I
finished. You and I always play Marvel Snap, so that's always up there.
So I finished Midnight Suns. It was good. I am fairly excited for the DLC characters, because one of them is.
Did you buy the version with all the DLC?
No, I just bought the $70 one.
Okay, well, let's talk about that right now, because I have that as a news item.
It's in the quick hits, and it's because I know I saw that Deadpool is coming, and I was about to actually talk about a couple of them, the people that they're bringing to the game as DLC.
I saw that. Yeah, talk about it, because I know there's 4 DLC characters, and I know Blade, I think, is one, and Morbius is another.
Blade is already in the game.
Okay, Morbius is one.
Yes, which
Deadpool is one.
Yes, Storm. And Storm. Venom. Technically already in the game, which I hate that. It's like such a lazy thing, because he's in the game already as a villain. And I think I always thought that was like the laziest thing in the world, making that like a design choice.
Making him a hero so you can play as him after a while.
Yeah, but I'm excited for everyone's current favorite vampire, which is Morbius. And I'm very, because the game, as you play it, it does poke fun at itself. Characters poke fun at themselves in like kind of a meta way. And it all is kind of great in that. And I cannot wait to see some sort of Morbin time joke that it comes with Morbius, because Morbius is actually a big time character in the Midnight Suns comic. Apparently I kind of read up on the material. And like I said about Marvel Unlimited, is that I want to try reading the actual comic run from when I think it was from the 90s, and to see what, like, how close this game is to the source material. Obviously, the Hunter being the character you play as is new, and that was to add like kind of like an RPG element to the card battle, I think, to get you more invested, which I did always think that was so weird, because like having to become better friends with people, and it's like all it is about choosing the right dialogue options. And it's like, I really don't care about my friendships with any of these people, but it's like, I get to like the max friendship level and they're like, I would have never thought you'd be my best friend, but you're my best friend. And it's so corny and so weird. But like I said, that all just kind of adds to the whole like the whole dialogue options and how people speak in a game is kind of comic booky. Like, especially now that I've been, like I said, reading old comics from like the 80s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and about how they used to, like, they would say words like indubitably. And I'm like, that is like a very like proper word to be using in any context.
Comic books are such a fun and crazy medium.
They are. Oh my goodness. Remind me, I'll text you here. The one in a second from Secret Wars. It's hysterical. But yeah, so I played that, beat it. I'm excited for the DLC. Like you said, Deadpool will be the first one, it looks like, that gets released. And of course, Deadpool.
We'll talk about him in a minute.
Yeah, he's obviously, everybody seems to love Deadpool anymore these days.
I am lucky. I have the Deadpool 360 game. I have the Xbox One version on disc, which I'm sure will be valuable because all the Marvel games that get delisted are always super valuable in the future.
Yeah,
but
which is a foreshadowing to one of our later stories.
I don't know which story that's foreshadowing. Avengers. Okay, well, you can tell me when we get there. For me, I played two games this week. I played Doom Eternal, the Ancient Gods DLC. I was almost done with the first one last week, I think, and I finished that one, and I finished all of the second one. So Doom Eternal now, I've finished all the story content, got a good portion of the achievements. I didn't do a ton of the multiplayer, so I don't have all the achievements for the multiplayer, but man, Doom Eternal is so good. And the place that the Ancient Gods Part 1 ends was really great, too. I really like that. But I won't go into it because that's too much, because it's a fairly old game at this point. But that is the third thing I've knocked off my backlog so far this year. And I'm feeling really good that it's January and I've already knocked three games
back
completion.
To Tim's old self.
I know. I'm popping them out. The next ones on my docket are to get back to The Witcher 3, which is a big game. So I'm kind of mixing and matching that with other stuff. And then I want to do God of War 2018. So I started that a little bit today. The other game I played is Tiny Tina's Wonderlands. And I played this because it was on the Free
Isn't
Play Days weekend. Yeah, it's the Borderlands spinoff.
Yeah.
And it was on the Free Play Days, so it was free Thursday to Sunday. I'll tell you what, this is a great value. If you have Xbox Live Gold or Ultimate or any of the Xbox Live packages, you basically can get one or two or three games free every weekend and play them for 4 days. And decide if you like them. And it's great because sometimes stuff doesn't come to Game Pass, but it will come to that. And it gives you an option to try it and see if you like it. And sometimes there's games that I'm okay missing. Like I liked Borderlands 3, but I never finished it. In fact, I've never finished a Borderlands game despite generally liking them. The humor always was just a little tiny bit off to me. And I found them a little tedious in the build crafting. It just never clicked with me. I know it's great and a lot of people like it, but I always intended to go back and finish Borderlands 3, but Tiny Tina Wonderlands is more fantasy based, which I tend to not play a ton of fantasy outside of The Witcher. And so I never really was interested. And it was exactly what I thought it would be, because I only played a little like an hour, but it's Borderlands, but set in fantasy. I mean, there's a couple of differences, like Andy Samberg voices one of the NPC characters. Wanda Sykes voices another, I think. And I think there's two other major actors that voice two characters that I haven't met yet, but they were in the trailers. So there's that component of it, but you create a character, which you don't do in the other games. So you can actually like create a character because it's kind of a parody of Dungeons and Dragons. I think it's called Bunkers and Badasses is the name of the D&D equivalent in this game. But it's a fantasy world where there's also guns. And it's very meta and they make lots of jokes. It's like High on Life and Borderlands where you're just constantly cracking jokes and you have, you know, magic abilities instead of the stuff you have in Borderlands, but it's the same and it has a cooldown and it's all about build crafting and, you know, making different cooldowns and stuff all work together to have a really cool build. So if you like Borderlands and you want a more Borderlands, it seems like it's more Borderlands, but it's been out a while. So I'm sure at this point, anyone that was interested in it already checked it out. And so they're trying to pick up people like me that are like, well, I'll try it since it's free for a weekend. But we're recording this at the end of the weekend. So at this point, it's already gone. So if you either took advantage of it or you didn't, I will say after playing it, I was like, this game seems perfectly great. I'm sure I would have a fine time with it. And I enjoyed it. It's not something I have to have. Like, if I wanted to play that, I have Borderlands 3 and I haven't finished it. So why wouldn't I just go back and do that? or the remastered versions of Borderlands 1 and 2. So I don't think that I need it. I'm glad I tried it, because if it had been some like revolution of like amazement, maybe I would have wanted to continue. But I think my assessment was right. I'm fine not having this in my life. Despite it being perfectly fine and good, I think I would enjoy it. I just don't have to have it. And that's where I'm trying to draw the line these days, is I play so many games. At some point, I have to pare down and just say, I don't have to play the 16th sequel in a franchise unless it's my favorite franchise, which self-indulgently, I've played every Assassin's Creed game because I like Assassin's Creed. I think it's a really cool lore, but I can't do that with every franchise because these games are becoming huge. Anyway, that's too much of that. Let's get to the news. Okay, which story were you talking about that we were going to get to in a minute? I'm assuming it was comic book related, because we've got three different
Avengers,
comic book stories.
Avengers, oh, okay. To be listed.
Yep. Okay, we'll talk about that. That's the last story I have this week. But I want to start with Halo. So there's going to be a lot of big news this week, but it's, I don't know how much we'll have to say about some of it. So a lot happened at Microsoft this week. So the first story I saw was Halo Infinite director Joseph Staten was leaving 343 Industries and rejoining Xbox Publishing. So that happened, and that coincided with Microsoft laying off 10,000 people. So some of those people were at Bethesda and Xbox. This is part of a wave of layoffs that just happened this last week or couple weeks in the new year for the tech industry. I believe Google laid off 12 or 13,000 people. I saw another tech company laid off a huge number of people. So the economic situation with inflation and everything the way it's been, we're seeing a lot of layoffs. So Xbox and Bethesda were not immune. Joseph Staten leaving 343, that spun up a bunch of rumors that Halo was going to be leaving 343 to be outsourced to an outside company, and that 343 would just oversee that because of kind of the mismanagement. And a lot of jobs were apparently let go at 343. I don't know how many, but people are reporting it as significant. That rumor was shot down, though. The studio head of 343, Pierre Hintze, I don't know how to say his last name, H-I-N-T-Z-E, he put out a statement. He was basically forced to, because the rumors were kind of running rampant. And he said, Halo and Master Chief are here to stay. 343 Industries will continue to develop Halo now and in the future, including epic stories, multiplayer, and more of what makes Halo great. So the last thing that I want to say is there were also rumors that the campaign DLC for Halo Infinite has been scrapped. I really hope this rumor is also not true, because where they left the Halo Infinite story, I thought was really interesting, and I wanted more. I wanted the DLC. So I hope that we get that at some point, but it's hard to imagine that they're going to add campaign DLC to a game that at this point is at least a year and a half old. Probably going to be 2 or 2.5 years old by the time any DLC is ready. And it just seems like Halo Infinite is probably losing steam, except for potentially the free-to-play multiplayer. But it's in a weird space. Anyway, Gus, let me toss it to you. Do you have any thoughts? The guy they put in charge to get Halo Infinite back on track is being basically laid off, and he got a new job back at Xbox Publishing. Microsoft laid off a bunch of people, not really relevant, except for some of them came from Xbox. And there was this fake rumor that Halo was leaving 343 that seems not to be true.
Yeah. I feel like we talked about this in the group chat this week about how it was like, oh my God, it's like Halo's dead. Ding dong, Halo's dead. And I don't know.
It definitely doesn't have the prestige of the industry. Like,
no, not like it used to.
Like when a Naughty Dog game comes out, like The Last of Us, it's like, yeah, an event setting game.
Oh, you mean 343?
Yeah, not, anything. Okay. Like, well, Halo in general. Like,
yeah. Halo doesn't have the clout anymore that it used to, and I'm doing it's because it's been bungled. It's been completely and utterly bungled for the last decade. Since Halo 4, really. I mean, people say Halo 4 wasn't terrible, but I mean, honestly, Halo 4 was not a very good successor to Halo 3.
I liked the story, but
back. Yeah,
it's one of my least favorite as far as gameplay and multiplayer. Yeah.
I hated the design decisions.
I hated the enemies, to be honest, especially in 4
the Prometheans
and 5. Just,
were so weird.
Them and their guns, I did not like even a little.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's one of those things where it's like when somebody leaves,
right?
Like when somebody leaves even though it's like technically like he's joining Xbox publishing, it's kind of like it always is like comes as like a blow to whatever is going on.
They did pull him from that to write Halo Infinite, though. So he's basically just going back where he came from after he shipped it and got it back on track.
Yeah.
And or at least.
So just how back on track is it, though?
I don't know. I mean, Forge has been a huge boon. Everybody says Forge is amazing. I personally haven't tried it because I don't really have a knack for making things.
I don't hear people talking about playing Halo. Everybody's talking about playing Call of Duty. So
yeah, and even in Call of Duty, people are positively talking about the multiplayer, but people hate the new Warzone.
Yeah,
they're backtracking like on the Gulag, and
we got a lot of problems with it. But yeah, I agree. It is sad. It's sad to see Halo get trashed in such a way.
I wonder when we're going to see something new. Obviously, they're not going to go all of this next year without putting out something. So eventually, probably around E3, we'll probably get some sort of update about what the plan is.
All I can say, I just hope it's good, man. The thing is, we always hope for things to be good, like Gotham Knights. I know it's kind of a bad example. Avengers, and so I'm just like, man, it's like, what is going on with the industry? The industry just keeps bungling everything.
Putting out turds.
Yes, and I'm like, dude, what is going on? What is going on? What is the problem here? Like some sort of malfunction in the gaming industry the last like couple years, really.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
COVID, games I guess.
Take longer and are more expensive than ever, and it's making things really hard because expectations are so high. And
yeah.
Anyway,
I guess maybe it is expectations, managing those.
I don't know, though. It's hard to compare. Like when you look at Arkham Knight, Arkham Origins, Arkham City, and even or Arkham Asylum and even Arkham Origins, which is made by a different team, the actual team that made Gotham Knights, those four games are all so many leagues better than Gotham Knights.
Mm-hmm.
And the decisions that led to Gotham Knights being bad were all clearly bad ones. Like, how could you in playtesting not tell that movement wasn't fun? Like, that's what made Arkham City and Arkham Knight work, was that they had amazing gliding and movement capabilities. So when you take that out of a large city-based game, and look how many other games have amazing movement. Like Assassin's Creed has you parkouring across the rooftop. Other games have zip lines or zip grapple guns. Like
the
Spider-Man Arkham swinging.
Knight, the Arkham Knight grapple gun with like the boost that could like propel you off of the tops of roofs into a glide was amazing. And I know that wasn't new in Arkham Knight. That was like, I think that was introduced in Arkham City to help with traversal.
But it was amazing.
I do agree that didn't we say that play testers are like trying to form a union?
Well, yeah, but they're kind of doing it onesie twosie across the industry. Yeah. Okay.
I'd be sure to see how that goes. Cause that might affect games we get in the future.
Yeah. Okay, so I've got three stories related to Ubisoft. I almost said Ubisoft. I've got them all in as number two as a mega unit for Ubisoft. So the first two are kind of minimal. So number one is one of the three projects that was canceled last week was the mysterious Project Q, which was their arena shooter game. And supposedly they moved that team to Assassin's Creed Mirage. So I'm not glad this got canceled, but they had so many free-to-play shooters in development that this one we knew nothing about that basically looked like Ubisoft's Fortnite, but not Fortnite, an arena shooter. So it was their, what's the name of that arena shooter on PC? Why can't I think of the name? Anyway,
Overwatch?
No, actually it's kind of like Overwatch too. You're right. I was thinking of Valorant, Valorant, Overwatch, any of those that have a brightly colored palette. Those are two entirely different genres, and I know that Valorant and Overwatch, but they both have a more colorful palette and use ability-based heroes, which is, since we don't know Project Q what type of game it was, it could have been either of those a competitor for. So that's the first piece of news. The second one is that Anno, or I think it's called Anno, I've actually never been into this franchise growing up, mostly a console gamer, is finally coming to consoles. So Anno, whichever it is, 1800, is coming to consoles March 16th. I know I probably should be embarrassed. I don't know how that's pronounced, but to be honest, that's not a franchise that was top of my mind. ever since it was been a PC exclusive, and it's not exactly a huge game. So I thought that was notable that it's coming to PC. But here's what I really want to talk about. Tom Henderson's website, Insider Gaming, had his sources leak to him a list of the 11 games that are being released by Ubisoft in their next fiscal year. And some of these we know about, some of these we didn't. And so I want to talk about them and see what you think about this next year outlook for Ubisoft. So five of these are mobile games or VR games. So these will not apply to Xbox. So Assassin's Creed Nexus is an Oculus 2 game. The Division's Resurgence is a mobile game. Rainbow Six Mobile is mobile. Assassin's Creed Codename Jade is mobile. And something that is going to be a tie-in to the Netflix Assassin's Creed show for mobile. So none of that stuff really applies to us. The stuff we know about, Avatar Frontiers of Pandora, Assassin's Creed Mirage, and Skull and Bones. The stuff we know about that we didn't know was coming in the next fiscal year, The Division Heartland and X Defiant, which are both free to play. And then the last one is Project Orlando, which is said to be the sequel to The Crew 2, but they're rebranding it as Motorfest. So a lot to take in there. Gus, let me pause. Any thoughts jump out at you? I know none of us care about The Crew, so it's hard to really care at all, but it seems to have a following.
My old roommate used to play The Crew. I think he played like The Crew 2. My takeaway here is
X Defiant is the one. I hate the name of it, but I could see that finding an audience as a tactical shooter that uses abilities as almost like a goofier version of Siege for a new generation, you know, the younger
kids. You didn't say that Division Heartland is a mobile, did you?
No, Division Resurgence is mobile. It's down farther on the list. That's Division Heartland is the free-to-play console game, which I'm interested in, but I'm worried that the free-to-play mechanics of it are going to make it insufferable.
I don't disagree with that. I'd be interested to see how it is they go about that.
If it's free-to-play and it's just like cosmetics and you know, I don't know, cosmetic loot boxes or whatever that I can just ignore, then I probably would enjoy it. But if it ends up being a grindy, like, I don't know, I guess it could be like
pay to win, pay to progress. Man, my pay to progress.
Oh,
is
pay
like
to progress is the worst.
Thing.
Yeah. I'm thinking it like kind of best and worst case is Fallout 76. Like Fallout 76 in its current state, I like. And it has a story and it has missions.
Yeah.
And it's not free to play, though. That's the thing. And so if it's like, that's where I'm worried. So I don't know what's going to happen there. I am actually, I've talked about this already, though. I'm excited about Avatar Frontiers of Pandora. X Defiant, probably not for me, but I could see it finding an audience. Skull and Bones, we've already talked about, I'm out on. So the only thing new here is The Crew and Motorfest. And I think they're trying to compete with Forza Horizon, and that's a really big hill to climb. So,
yeah, I think unfortunately, Forza kind of has, well, unfortunately for Ubisoft, Forza kind of has the monopoly on, not like professional racing. I mean, they even semi, I mean, like F1 type stuff. I mean, obviously it's not F1, but like as like a racing simulator, I think it kind of has the monopoly on that. And then EA, I don't know, I thought they killed NASCAR, but I don't know if they brought it back as more of like a professional thing.
Well, and then is EA the one that bought Codemasters? Who bought Codemasters? EA, yep. So they have several other games under their belt. Although, remember, we reported a couple weeks ago, months ago, that they shut down Project Cars. So that's one less game.
And then they have F1 games, don't they?
Yeah, there's F1 games. Yeah. The biggest competitors are like Gran Turismo on PlayStation, and but that's a simulation game, so that's more like Forza Motorsport, which obviously is going to be revealed this Wednesday.
Yep.
You know, so Division Heartland, if the monetization is good, could be good. Avatar Frontiers of Pandora, I have hope for that. X Defiant, I don't think it's for me, but I think it's going to find an audience. Assassin's Creed Mirage, I'm excited for. Skull and Bones, couldn't care less at this point. Project Orlando, The Crew, or Motorfest, whatever it ends up being called, not really interested. And I'm sure it'll be successful, but I just still don't understand how it finds an audience. And even though it's not for Xbox, I do want to say I'm very excited for Assassin's Creed Codename Jade, just because it's going to be a full Assassin's Creed game on mobile, which I find attractive, especially if it controls well. What?
I don't.
Oh, yeah. Well, I figured you're not a huge mobile gamer.
Assassin's Creed has no place on mobile. Sorry.
And then Division's Resurgence. Well, you got to remember, though, some other markets outside of the U.S. are way bigger mobile gamers than they are console.
And that's why, partially why, it's probably set in China.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah,
but,
and they're trying to tap into that market, and I'm just like, dude, I wanted a China game on console. Dang it, that's what I've been wanting. Wanting one set in Asia.
Aren't we? No, we're getting one. Remember? Japan. No. We're getting a Japan.
Yeah, we're getting Japan, which I'm Assassin's Creed still cool. Red. But man, China, still cool. I feel like there's just so much potential in Chinese mythology as part of the which would go into the Isu backstory, which they seem to continue to push out, which again is part of what I like. I kind of like that part of it, and I thought Odyssey did it the best. And then
I wonder if they'll ever bring Codename Jade to Switch, PC, or console, because Switch would make the most sense because it's also a mobile platform, but PC would make a lot of sense too, especially since Ubisoft has started putting their games on Steam again, and it could be on Steam Deck, but that would allow that game to be playable on PCs and not be locked only to mobile. So hopefully they explore some of that, but that's, again, not Xbox related. So, okay, let's move on. Number three. This one will be a short one. Suicide Squad, a game that we're all very much looking forward to clean our palates from Gotham Knights. A screenshot leaked, which has since been confirmed by journalists to be real and from a recent test. And it showed the home screen where your four characters are on the title screen, and it shows their level. So apparently you level your four heroes in this game, which I don't know that we knew before. And there was a place on the menu for a battle pass. So that is the interesting piece of this, is how do you feel about a story-based game like this having a cosmetic battle pass? What could they possibly be delivering? I mean, maybe costumes for all the Justice League villains plus costumes for your characters, maybe, or maybe just for your characters. But
I'm interested how
many cool costumes.
How it's a battle pass. How is it tied into a battle pass?
Yeah, because how do you progress if there's not multiplayer?
Are there?
Is it just from leveling up?
Yeah, where the game's set in Metropolis?
Yeah, it's set in Metropolis. Okay, you're trying to take down the Justice League Dark. No,
I would Side, imagine but, that the battle pass would have something to do with Side.
Brainiac, I think
with
Brainiac
Side infects
him. So what? I mean, you grind side missions to get levels to level up?
Maybe. That's the only thing I can see, because I thought it was a single player game.
I thought so too, but how many cool costumes are you going to get for a human shark? He wears trunks.
I don't know. I think you'd be surprised.
And a vest. What different colored vests?
All I'll say to that is go to the Smite store or the League of Legends store, and I'll show you just how many on the outfits you can put on a shark.
Okay, I guess that's true too, because they could make him do the hammerhead shark alternate.
Maybe they'll make a plushy skin where he's a plushy shark.
Yeah, I guess they could get ridiculous with it.
They could. That's the only thing I could think. And I mean, the thing is, it's like the Suicide Squad. I'm just do I care? Really, really care about any of them? No.
I care about this game so much.
I'm excited for the game.
Yeah, I'm really excited because of who's making it. Yeah. They made the three best Batman games, in my opinion. And
yes,
the only thing I'm sad about is Harley Quinn, pretty cool. Deadshot, pretty cool. King Shark, I'm kind of mixed on.
King Shark's
despite
the coolest,
the,
in my opinion.
Really?
Yes.
And then
Captain Boomerang is the most fun.
Captain Boomerang is such a wet blanket. I hate that guy. His comedy is always like, off. You like
kind of like Captain Boomerang because he's
you like
Australian.
His accent. Yeah.
And what Australians crack me up.
But it's also, I've said this way back when the game was announced, like, it's a really awesome idea to fight the Justice League instead of playing as them. Like, I'm a huge Superman fan, but the thought of, like, battling him as the villain, much like Injustice, but, like, you don't, you know, Injustice is a fighting game. You don't fight him in, like, a 3D environment as a villain with all of Superman's powers. So, like, that part of it is amazing.
I will say, I am interested. So we said this game is set in the Arkham universe.
It is. Yeah. So it's the same Harley Quinn
from
the four Batman. We don't know that he is. Oh, yeah, we do know he's alive. Because
Batman's dead at the end of, allegedly, dead at the end of Arkham Knight. So I'm interested to see how they bring him back. Or
is Batman ever really dead?
A side or precursor to Arkham Knight where it takes place before that. And outside of Gotham. That seems like the most likely explanation.
Yeah, I mean, it could be that, or it could be some, you know, Lazarus Pit, or it could be any number of things. Yeah, I mean, Kevin Conroy is back, so they got him back for a reason. Although he's playing an evil Batman, which, you know, I'm sure at multiple times in his career, he's played like a Batman that was brainwashed, you know, in the animated series or whatever, but he was also evil on the CW Crisis for Infinite Earths, where he played live action Bruce Wayne.
He was also, he had played evil Batman that was part of the, that like, I think where it had like, what's his name? Like Justice Lord or whatever. And they were like in that alternate universe where the Justice League.
Oh, one of the Justice League movies. Yep.
No,
yep.
The JL Justice League Unlimited, like the comic or the animated show. He was as obviously he was Batman in that, and they have an episode, I think maybe two, might be a two-parter, where the Justice League in one universe, like something happened, and so they basically just run the whole planet now because no one else can stop them, but they also will kill people.
Well, so this Suicide Squad cosmetic battle pass thing segues perfectly into our fourth story, which is Marvel's Avengers has announced that it will be delisted in September, the last day of September, September 30th, and kinda development is coming to an end. I'm glad, personally. I want the team to move on.
I don't disagree, but man, there was so much potential.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? By comparison, this game looks hugely amazing compared to Gotham Knights. Like,
it does. It looks like a success story compared to that.
Yeah, like at least I played both games, and I would say Avengers, at least I enjoyed the story, and then afterwards the grind was like, ugh, I'm not going to do this.
Versus Gotham Knights. I enjoyed character move sets. I enjoyed, like I said, I liked the whole button mashing thing of it, which, because it reminded me so much of my still favorite game, which is Marvel Ultimate Alliance.
Yeah, my biggest complaint is all the heroes felt kind of samey, and all the levels felt really samey. So it really made the game feel boring.
Yeah, no, we can't agree.
Okay, here's the update, though. So, following update 2.8 on March 31st, we'll no longer add new content or features to Marvel's Avengers. Official support for the game will end on September 30th. Okay, so that we already know. Even after official support ceases on September 30th, both single-player and multiplayer gameplay will continue to be available. So, they're not shutting it off. You'll still be able to play co-op. And here's the coolest part. As a show of our appreciation for the community, starting March 31st, 2023, so 6 weeks from now, we will be making the game's marketplace, challenge card, and shipment cosmetic content available to all players for free. Every single outfit, takedown, emote, and nameplate from the marketplace, challenge cards, and shipments will be free for all players from this date onwards if you own a copy of the game. And then the game is being delisted for sale September 30th. So keep your eyes peeled to buy this game really cheap, or it's available on Game Pass if you want to play it and have it going forward. But most importantly, like, all cosmetics are going to be unlocked, which the cosmetic system in this game really was grindy, and they really encouraged microtransactions. There was almost no way to get cosmetics without microtransactions. And now you're just going to have all of them. So that's kind of cool, especially if you haven't played the game or you're going to play it on Game Pass, and the game's going to stay available. So the fact that it's not getting any more updates is kind of fine if you just want to experience the game. And I gave up after, I don't know. They added the Winter Soldier since the last time I played it. So I think what I'm going to do now is I'll check out the Winter Soldier when this update drops, and I can add all the cosmetics, because I'm sure they'll have all kinds of insane cosmetics that I didn't even know were in the game because their store design also sucks. It's not as bad as Gotham Knights, though. Gotham Knights is going to be the brunt.
Their store is pretty bad.
Gotham Knights is going to be the brunt of my jokes for the next 2 years. So welcome to our show. We hope you'll stick around. Please share us on social media. Help us find an audience. We are three idiots and we talk about whatever we like every week. Thanks for being here. With that, let's move to the quick hits. Unless you had something you wanted to say there about this, I think we've kind of covered it.
We enjoyed
the game, but it wasn't the grind at the end was kind of
monotonous. We were so graciously given a free copy of the game. So I'd at least want to mention that.
Wait, I think were we both given one, or did I give you the review copy and I paid for it? I don't remember.
I think you gave me a copy. Regardless, they were gracious enough to give us a code, so I at least wanted to acknowledge that because I did play it because of that, and I very much enjoyed the option that I was given to even play it at all. Because, like I said, I did enjoy it. I think I enjoyed the baseline of it, but unfortunately, I feel like the development cycle as it continued was just
It's on Game Pass now, so if you're listening to this, it's on Game Pass. Just check it out. If you have Game Pass, you don't have to pay for it. And I don't know what else to say besides that.
Agreed.
I hope they're moving back to Tomb Raider, because this studio made amazing Tomb Raider games, and I want the Tomb Raider franchise to have another sequel like the previous ones.
But it didn't seem like they had the same kind of control.
Embracer Group and the way they handled their games and stuff. So who knows?
Yeah.
Okay. Quick hits. I got three quick hits this week. Starfield release date coming soon. So some of the foreign language Instagram posts for Starfield have said things like release date coming soon. That could be a vagueness, but we also combine that with that they announced there would be a separate standalone event for Starfield after the developer direct, kind of leads me to believe that we're going to get a release date at the developer direct. It's probably going to be this fall or this winter. So I'm nothing really of a surprise there. Number two, EA PGA Tour finally has a release date. Remember, this was delayed a year from last year. And so it's coming March 24th. If you want an EA golf game. And then finally, we let tease this at the beginning of the show. Deadpool is coming to Midnight Suns on January 26th. Which is this Thursday or Friday. Let me look at a calendar. Not that anyone listening to this doesn't already know.
Today's the 22nd, which would make that Thursday.
Yeah, and the update is going to be called The Good, The Bad, and The Undead. New story missions, new cosmetics. Here's the weird part, Gus. You can't buy the DLC by itself. And initially, it's only going to be available as a part of the season pass. And they give no details on when it'll be available as a standalone purchase. So the only way to play this Deadpool DLC is to buy the season pass, which is why I asked, do you own the season pass or are you going to buy the season pass?
I don't know if I do or don't. Like I said, I think I bought the baseline $70 version, which did come with some stuff. It came with outfits.
But it was the $100 version or whatever.
Which Deadpool, I don't know. He's kind of fine to me. He's big for a lot of other people, but like I said, Morbius is who I'm most excited for, because he was actually he's one of the original Midnight Suns. Morbius is so
did you ever watch the Morbius movie, or do you just watch the memes?
Morbid time. No, I did not watch the movie. I should watch it. It's on Netflix or HBO Max, isn't it, or something like that?
It's on something.
I think it's on Netflix, and I think I added it to my list. So bad. I was like, I want to watch it, but it's almost better not having watched it and just living vicariously through the memes of other people.
The most infuriating thing about it is that it has an after credit scene that if you stop and think for even a minute about the logic of it, it doesn't track at all
about
with
how
what
Vulture's
they're
there
trying
from
to tie
the MCU.
It into. Like it makes less sense than the after credit scene of the Incredible Hulk in 2008, 2009,
where
Tony Stark shows up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where Tony Stark shows up and says, we're forming a team. And it basically implies he's asking him to bring the Abomination to be on the team, But one, Tony Stark didn't know about the Avengers Initiative at that time. And two, Abomination was never invited to be on the team.
I thought the after-credit scene
was kind of just like thrown away and not acknowledged ever again.
So when was it? Did they talk about the Avengers? Did they first talk about the Avengers in Iron Man 2?
Yes.
I thought that was a post-credit scene where he talks to Nick Fury.
Yes, and he does. And he's at a table, and there's all these screens showing kind of things happening around the world, because Iron Man 2, at the end of Iron Man 2, Thor is happening at the same time. And so he's like,
I have this going on in the Southwest region. I just watched Iron Man 1, and at the end, Nick Fury is in like his room. It's Samuel Jackson in his room. So, and I think he mentioned something about the Avengers Initiative.
Yeah, but
I do agree it is weird, because like Tony was like very like whatever about it in Iron Man 2. So it's just like, it wouldn't really make a whole lot of sense for him to be the one who shows up in Hulk. It would have made more sense for like Phil Coulson to show up.
Yeah, especially since his whole thing in Iron Man 2 was he was like insulted that at the end he was asked to only be a consultant or whatever.
Yeah, right.
And like, yet he was inviting people to join.
He's like, we want Iron Man, we don't want Tony Stark.
And then Abomination never joined, so it didn't make any sense, because they really should have been inviting Hulk. But Hulk
I think they were inviting Hulk, and I think you're misremembering.
No, but that's the thing. Hulk like gets away. You know, Hulk is gone at the end.
Yeah, but he finds Edward Norton in the bar.
He finds him in the middle of nowhere.
Who is the Hulk? And I think he's like, we're putting together
asking where he is, or help me track him down. I don't know.
I don't think he knows that Bruce Banner is the Hulk. I think the whole point is that he doesn't suspect, or hasn't been told by Nick Fury or whoever, that Bruce Banner and the Hulk are the same person.
I guess
that would kind of track, because Nick Fury is like notorious for keeping secrets, and that's like a big part of Winter Soldier.
I just think that scene doesn't work because you have to do some mental acrobatics to try and make it make
obviously,
sense.
Because we're having to stand here and explain it.
Any of these could possibly work if you really want to stretch it. But in the reality, it really should have just been Nick Fury either talking to him about Abomination, or them talking to, you know, like them meeting Bruce Banner in the wilderness in the after credits, saying, "Hey, I finally caught up to you."
It should have been Phil Coulson, because he's the one who shows up as the S.H.I.E.L.D. dude in the first Iron Man.
Yeah. Yeah. Which so, I think I was agree. A throwaway originally, and then got turned into a whole thing.
Yeah. Well, cause he says it, it is funny, cause he kind of gets retconned, because he talks about, it's like, we are the strategic Homeland Intervention and Logistics Division. They're like, wow, you got to get a name for that. But then, like, S.H.I.E.L.D. exists already as S.H.I.E.L.D. in Captain Carter. Or not Captain Carter, in
Captain Marvel.
No, in like the Peggy Carter show.
But it's also S.H.I.E.L.D. in the 90s in Captain Marvel.
Yeah, so it's just like,
they've already had the name. Yeah. I mean, this is the problem when you have 15 years of movies that are all and TV shows that all tie together.
I agree.
I mean, it's better. It's more organized than DC Comics movies are.
DC is defunct largely because their movies suck.
Well, hey, James Gunn is saying that they're going to try and tie the games into the movies and the TV shows and the animated. And I'm like, there's no way you're going to coordinate all four of those to work together.
I'm shocked they didn't just scrap the Flash movie after the whole Ezra Miller debacle, but they probably have far too much money in it. But it's like, I feel like people are like gonna boycott it because of the dude.
Okay, well, if you're only here for the Xbox news, feel free to bounce, but I'm gonna talk about this for a minute longer. So there are already these rumors that they were going to keep Ezra Miller into the next round of DC content. I don't know if you saw, but Jason Momoa did an Instagram video or a Facebook video of himself walking out of the DC offices, and he basically said, like, I can't tell you guys anything, but I'm excited. And then he's like screaming, going, woohoo. So it seems like Jason Momoa might not be leaving either. So if they're going to keep everybody but my boy Henry Cavill, which, if you're a longtime friend of the show, you know that we love Henry Cavill on this show.
Yes, we do.
And he's not Superman. He's not The Witcher. I'm about to boycott Henry Cavill. I'm about to like stand on the street corner with a sign that says "Save Henry Cavill."
Yeah,
he doesn't need saving. He has lots of money. And also,
he has his Warhammer title that he's like producing and starring.
I know,
in.
I know he's excited about that, but something tells me that that just isn't going to have the reach of Witcher or Superman.
Yeah, I think they're going to use the Henry Cavill name about as far as they can.
But yeah, well, I mean, he's also a producer. It's his pet project.
That's what I'm saying. So. It's his baby. We'll see. I mean, I'd be interested to see who else they can get. I mean, the thing is like The Witcher kind of garnered a following despite the fact that nobody really knew what it was.
Yeah, that's true.
The problem is that show got torpedoed by actual fans realizing this is not the right thing, and then also the people who make the show not even liking making it. Other than Henry Cavill.
I mean, we a lot of rabbit holes here at the end. So 2 days ago, I finished The Witcher Blood Origin, which is the 4-part miniseries prequel to The Witcher. Do not recommend. I'd call it aggressively mediocre. And the CGI in the last episode is majorly questionable. But I did enjoy it because Michelle Yeoh is a great actress. She's in like everything I've loved in the last year or two. I still haven't finished Everything Everywhere All at Once. I really want to. Everybody recommends that. And I started it and I heard it's good too. And I love that kind of stuff, but it's only available to rent. Or no, it's not available to rent. It's only available to buy. I don't really buy movies anymore. So I was hoping to just rent it, but I can't. And I think it just became available to stream, but only on Paramount Plus, but only if you have the premium version. And I only have basic Paramount Plus. So I'd have to basically pay the cost of upgrading to buy it just to upgrade. So I don't know. This is way in the weeds. We'll stop it there. Next week will be huge. We have the developer direct on Wednesday. And I'm trying to figure out what next to tackle on my backlog. Please send me your suggestions on Twitter or direct message. And we'll see you next week. Thanks for being here. I'm Tim Shelton. You can follow me on Twitter at Tim Shelton.
And I'm Gus Harden. If you have any questions for me, you'd have to tweet at the show at Multiform Pod on Twitter.
See you next week.
New episodes post every Monday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern. You can contact us on Twitter at MultiformPod or by email at questions@multiformpodcast.com. If you enjoyed our show and you're feeling extra generous, please share it with your friends or on social media. You can subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, or anywhere you listen.